find yourself in danger when you're threatened by a stranger. When it looks like you will take a licking, there is someone waiting who will hurry up and rescue you.
Call out for Super Ficken.
But if you're afraid, you'll have to overlook it.
Besides, you knew the job was fucked up when you took it.
He will take a super sock and throw the bad guys for a loss, and he will bring them in alive and kick it. There was one thing you should learn, when there is no one else who can.
Call out for Super Ficken. Call out for Super Ficken. Greetings, Ogling, Wigger, and Manzer Ass Clouds across the fruited and nutted Zog Plain, in the open air, coast to coast nut house that we call Zog Babylon, the third and the final. And also to the lost sheep and the ones who have been looking and the ones who have been found. Sheep of the house of Israel, greetings. Now this will be episode number 86 of the Movement Turd. And the chat for it was on the 4th of September, 2011, starting around 8 o'clock or so, p.m. Central Time that evening. And after the fact, I'm going ahead and I'm going to give it a title called, For That Woman You Gave Me Has Fried It Up and I Did Eat It. Now, it's a rather lackluster episode of the Movement Turd. We were talking about Visser trying to get back into Christian identity. We're talking about a number of other things, and this episode sort of got, misplaced for a while. You know, right now it's it's nearly 2 weeks later. Well, it is 2 weeks later. Not quite 2 weeks later, but 13 and a half days later. How's that? And, in any case, what I end up going ahead and talking about is how I do occasionally eat pork. And sometimes deliberately, other times simply by not paying too much attention as to what it says on the carton of bologna or hot dogs or whatever, you know, got on sale and ate. So yes, I do eat pork on occasion. And I've gone ahead and told her people is about how my family, mainly Swedes, although some Germans, would of course go ahead and actually raise a few pigs. Not a lot, because central South Dakota and, you know, certainly West River South Dakota is not pig country. But I remember when I was young, very young, 4 or 5 years old, I would remember my mom slopping the hogs that we got from the next door neighbors, the Hapneys. They were English people, I believe. But in any case, we would get the runts of the litter and we would go ahead and raise the runts and give a few of the fat pigs back to the Hapneys, who were raising them sort of more commercially than what we were. Essentially, we would go ahead and raise the runts for the smaller pigs, and then afterwards we would, yeah, we would get pretty well, about half, three quarters of them, something like that, and we would go ahead and essentially we would render them down in usually around November or so, and we would have bacon or whatever for, you know, bacon and other, you know, pork meat for the remainder of the year. And well, usually what we would have, of course, was beef, because we mainly raised cattle. The pigs were just something that was sort of at the sideline for their lard, for their bacon, for a number of things. But mainly we ate beef, and mainly we ate what we grew out of this one-acre lot. So, in any case, part of that was a reaction to, this character named Victor Switzer, who's probably an Anglo-Massese that lives around Pine Bluff, who told the big old piece of shit about how I'm a Jew because my mother's name was Samuel, maiden name was Samuelson, which it was. But essentially that was the anglicized version of Svensson and the rest here. And Victor Switzer is just a lying mamzer who wanted to play Christian, and then he got in with Visser. So we were talking about a number of, things like that here. We're also talking about how these tars were just coming, these Jews and Mansers were coming in Christian identity. So essentially all it was just a late night chat, chat session there wasn't any really big news in the movement. It was just another one of those weeks in which you're waiting for something to happen. And from what I remember, I was pretty well warning people that Alex Linder would go ahead and snitch out, Kevin Harpham. And later on in the week, from my Gary, took a plea bargain, and I suppose he's going to get 32 years. So essentially, we're just waiting for stuff to go happen. But one of the things that got, and Russ called in, and he either hung up or I didn't record him. So this will be a rather short episode of the Movement Turd. But one of the things that I got is I'd had people saying that Eve had gone ahead and been seduced by Satan. Was he seduced homosexually by Satan? And I've been thinking in that, in many cases, what Yahweh says, just like on Genesis 3, verse 12, you have given me this woman, and she did give to me, and I did eat. This woman you gave me. So he's trying to blame both Yahweh, and he's trying to blame this woman that Yahweh had given him for the seduction. So, folks, Yahweh, just like anyone else here, if he puts the man in charge, the man is responsible for what his wife does. And so, if he became a cuckold because she was stupid, because she was deceived, because she was beguiled, because she was seduced, then still, that lapse on the part of the woman is his fault. And later on, it went ahead and put her firmly under the man's control. Said that you would have pain when you had children, and you would be dominated by your husband. But that domination also means that there's responsibility for us as men. And therefore, if our women folks go ahead and sin, in many cases we're the ones who's going to have to answer it for it with our, with our hides and with our lives and with our money and the rest here. Generally, that is the way it is, as Yahweh and nature intended to be. So, that's the basis behind the sermon. Now, folks, if you're going ahead and living a perfectly devout life, now, I'm not going to go ahead and get on, because Jews like Eli James and I think Bill Fink will make far big deal about eating bacon, because by race they're not Israelites. By race they're Jews. And Jews have to go ahead and cut off their wieners, tips of their wieners when they're young, and do all this sort of thing in order as Canaanites, as Hamites, as non-Israelites, as Jews. They have to go ahead and pretend to be Israelites. So therefore, they have all sorts of nonsense that they have to go through by pretending to obey a law, because they do not have grace, because they are not of the race. You have people like Dan Johns, goes ahead and acts like a total Pharisee, and then lets in all these mansers like Brian Rio and the rest here. And the reason that these people are just going through the motions by pretending to obey Yahweh's law is because it doesn't really do any good for them to obey Yahweh's law, because they're Jews, because they're mansers. But like I was explaining to someone just tonight, let's say you live a perfectly sinless life. You don't eat any bacon, don't eat any pork, don't eat any bologna, don't eat any, don't go ahead and eat any food which has been fried in lard that you didn't know of or anything like that. Let's say you live a perfectly sinless life. At the end of it, what does all your righteousness have to show for it? And the answer is, well, really nothing, because even the best of us living the most blameless lives here, our righteousness is nothing more than just what, quote, what? And the answer is filthy rags. Folks, this is not an inducement to sin. This is not an inducement to go out and eat. Go ahead and buy 10 pounds of bacon and fry it all up here and gobble it down. Well, that is not good for you at all, in addition to being against Yahweh's food laws. I'm not urging you to go ahead and sin. And folks, I'm not saying that I eat bacon every day. Don't eat it every week. But on the other hand, do I worry too much about if I go out to a go ahead and eat a pastry for, you know, done at a commercial bakery, that I might have gone ahead and eaten some lard? Do I worry about it? Do I look too closely at the bologna when it's on sale and I've gone ahead and bought a bunch of it? Do I worry too much about it? And folks, bologna which has pork in it will last longer than beef bologna, because the pork bologna has far more salt in it, natural salt that's in the meat. It's a saltier meat. That's why it pickles and cures far easier than beef does. Now, folks, am I urging you to go out and sin that grace may abound? The answer is no. But on the other hand, folks, if you eat a little bit of pork every so often, you have a bacon cheeseburger, folks, don't rack yourself up with lots and lots and lots and lots and lots of guilt over it. Folks, you're an Israelite. The law of Yahweh is written on your heart, so you're not going to eat bacon and pork every single day on every single meal. And you might have a little bit of problems if you were a pig farmer here for other twiggers to go ahead and eat. I wouldn't recommend being a pig farmer. But on the other hand, I'm pointing out is that, like Paul said, that, by grace are you saved. But folks, you cannot get grace. And Dan Johns, he cannot understand that or will not understand because he's a Jew or a Mamzer. You will not be extended grace unless you have or you are of the race. And some of that is not through any work of your own, but because your ancestors were a little bit picky about what the heck they screwed, which is far more than most Whiggers and the rest are. So folks, in many cases, you would not be extended the opportunity to be a true son of God unless you already were a son of Israel. So once having gone ahead and repented of your sins and having been baptized, I do believe you ought to be baptized after you repent. And folks, I'm not urging you to go ahead and sin some more. I'm just simply saying that we live in a modern age. We live in a modern world. And essentially acting like a Pharisee or acting like a Jew, pretending to be a Pharisee. And that's where all this Pharisaism came from. These Pharisees came because they had no right to be among the children of Israel when they returned from Babylon, when they went ahead and seen the inhabitants. They were sneaking in, and Ezra and Nehemiah had to get rid of them. They had to get rid of them at the highest levels. Why, the high priest's son-in-law was a Moabite. He was, he was a Edomite. And therefore, they had to put these people away. I'm not sure, I don't think they went ahead and actually killed them, but essentially what they did is they ran them out of the congregation. Now, here, today, we have all sorts of Mamzers, all sorts of Jews, and all the rest here. And essentially, the reason that they go ahead and come in is that they go ahead and look and say, well, this Israelite is eating pork, this Israelite's doing this, this Israelite's doing that here. Therefore, since I'm a righteous Jew, I'm a righteous Mamzer, since I have the law, and they don't, why, I get to go ahead and go in. And the answer is no, they don't. Even a righteous Mamzer, even a righteous Jew, or a self-righteous Jew has no business in that. And if you want to go ahead and see evil people, the surest fire way to detect them is through their odor of sanctimonious self-righteousness. I knew that this old gender bender, pisser, pusser, possum was a Mamzer, an evildoer of some sort when it showed up. Coming up and yapping about, how the law prohibits profanity. Well, no. Knowing the only limit on what you may say is you are not to take the word of Yahweh in vain. And you're not supposed to go ahead and idly swear by everything from the heavens to the earth and in between. What's your yeses? You know, you're not supposed to go ahead and lie. Your yeses should be yes, your no should be no. But it doesn't say anything about using some four-letter Anglo-Saxon monosyllables. Those words are not developed by Jews. You have all these people who go ahead and they take this law and then they go ahead and they make it in order to define themselves as being far more righteous because they have made up a whole bunch of new law. And when you don't go ahead and obey it, why, oh, you are so evil, even though you're white and they're not. Even though you're an Israelite and they're a Jew. That's what you end up having. And the end result is you end up having Pharisaical Jews who act according to their ancestors, creating a new Talmud, like Eli James, like Bill Fink, like Brian Rio, Dan Johns, Jeremy Visser. A bunch of evil Jews and Mamzers sneaking in and offering, instead of grace because they have race. They have no claim to grace because they have not the race. They are not of the race. And what they do is they, you know, all they give is a Talmud. All they give is their man-made traditions of Mamzers. And that's not, you know, that's not what is necessary. So folks, you know, that's one way the Jews and the Mamzers go ahead. I mean, I've been listening to some of these tards for a while, and I don't see anything that's even remotely Christian identity teaching. All it is screaming about Jews, niggers, you know, and the rest here. And folks, it doesn't cover what needs to be covered. And what we have isn't a nigger problem or a beaner problem or even a Jew problem. Although they are a problem. What we have is we have Uyghurs who essentially do not pay attention to what is written on their hearts, the word of Yahweh. They need to go ahead and have some juicy fruit. They need to have some Talmudic tradition of men in order to go ahead and give them permission. Harold Covington has talked about how Uyghurs need to have a permission slip from the Jews. Well, the first thing, if you go ahead and understand the Jews are spawn of Satan, the last thing you need is permission to do anything from a Jew. Because a Jew will do what a Jew does do. Evil. They will go ahead and obey, just like Jesus said in John 8:44. They will follow lies. They will love lies because their father, Satan the devil, is a liar. And their physical father, Cain, was the first murderer. So, anyway, I'm going to go ahead and we'll get to this program. So, folks, we'll have the theme song, and now, Hail Victory.
Yes, I admit we got a Uyghur problem. Uyghur's always on my mind. The way they run to and fro, stupid ways you'll never find. Yes, I admit we got a Uyghur problem. Build a drop up to the top. The way they run to and fro, and they're always easy drop. I wake up and right away, stupid Uyghurs come to mind. The way they run to and fro, stupid Uyghurs you'll never find. Yes, I admit we got a Uyghur problem. Uyghurs always on my mind. The way they run to and fro, stupid Uyghurs you'll never find. Yes, I admit we got a Uyghur problem. Build a drop up to the top. The way they run to and fro, and they're always eating slop. Uyghurs keep remembering good dog used to be. Being taught long ago, afraid of memory. Yes, I admit we got a wicked problem. Wicked's always on my mind. The way they run to and fro, took the wiggers you'll never find. Yes, I admit we got a wigger problem. Build the drop up to the top. The way they run to and fro, and they're always eating drop. The way they run to and fro, and they're always eating drop.
Greetings, ogling, wigger, mandarin ass clowns across the fruited nut zog plain in the open air, coast to coast nut house that we call Zog Babylon, the third and the final. And also to the found sheep of the house of Israel, to whom this message is really aimed at, greetings. Now, tonight is September 4th of 2011, and it's the movement turd number 86. I'm not quite sure what to go ahead and call it. It doesn't really matter, because when I go ahead and cut and paste, this is usually section B. Now, I can go ahead now with clear conscience, because I looked last Thursday, and guest number 8 was probably Brian Wright, who has somehow found the secret turd. But I don't think he's going to go ahead and tell, because he just got to go ahead and have fun. You know, that's it's a crazoid nimbuster. And, folks, usually you go ahead and just give them a little, just go ahead and give them little tips here. So like the operating, this cartoon I seen years ago, about this nurse tell the doctor about this dog in the operating room. He wouldn't be like that if you didn't give him any tips. And what happens is that, so we do have Zogling, Wigger, or Mans, or Ass Clowns, some of them in, perhaps in the chat room, although it don't look like we have one tonight here. We have just the regulars. So, essentially we have regulars, just like we have, just like Finkelshini does, just like Eli James does. And folks, I've fallen a little bit behind again. I got nearly caught up, and then I fell behind again. And so I'm, 2 shows behind at least, and then all the other ones from way back when. But what I've done is I've gone ahead and solved the problem of limited space on whitenationalist.org by going ahead and putting it on mamsers.org. I also got another place, Nimbuster went ahead and, it looks like Frank and Wigger got a YouTube channel. So, in any case, I'm looking at what's going on, and some of my little memes that I'm spreading about how the above-ground Christian identity movement is really nothing but Jews and Mamsers and insane criminals like Mo Gullet and Alan Truitt. And what you see, it's just like this West Allis rally by the NSM. You had about 30 NSMers all running in their little uniforms, in their little brown shirts or what have you. Then you had about 20 who didn't want to be associated with it, but still wanted to be to the rally. So they had their own little rally within a rally. And then you had a whole bunch of niggers and the rest having their fun. And, of course, you had a whole swarm of pigs. And the pigs are really grateful because, hey, that means they have overtime. So, essentially, it was a little demonstration of free speech to go ahead and show that you have more and more wiggers. You are pretty well losing it. But what you see in this movement, like, for example, today, I was trolling Eli James on Toshiba number 2, off and on, and Eli James, he's whining like a pussy to talk to you. I guess whining to the FBI doesn't do him any good anymore. But he's a whine like a pussy about how the Nimbusters and presumably I myself are violating, you know, Talk Shoes terms of service complaints. And folks, it don't do a damn bit of good to go ahead and whine like a pussy about that anymore. And, okay, Necro Butcher is not a Nimbuster. Okay, my Negro Butcher. Okay. Getting on with it. Well, I don't know if it means snitching. It means that you don't go ahead and bear false witness. But generally, in a modern translation, you don't go ahead and report on something to Zog that isn't any of, you know, which isn't any of your own business, because Zog is a bigger criminal than any criminal action you're going to go ahead and see. Second of all, if they go ahead and do something against you, it doesn't do any good to go ahead and snitch. Like John Britton's lawyer, he found out that this character named Siegfried was Brian Wright and Mike Delaney, and both of them going ahead and trolling and giving a hard time. And he said, well, if you hadn't lost your temper and, you know, yelled at Brian Rio in episode number 46 of the Movement Turd, I'd want you to go to the FBI and complain about stalking and put Brian Rio, Brian Wright, and Mike Delaney in prison. And John was just sort of looking at him, you know, sort of saying, like, in his own sort of West Coast way, dude, we don't go running whining to the pigs when somebody wrongs us. And that's pretty well, you know, that's pretty well the way it is here. The pigs are far more likely to protect anybody who wrongs me if I go run whining to them. For example, I have my garden, and tonight I end up watering some of it because it didn't really rain very much down here. It rained a little bit, but it's real cool. It's real wonderful and unseasonably cool now here in southwest Missouri. But I looked at this little melon, which had been growing, and this groundhog or something had gone ahead and gotten into it. And folks, if I usually probably get caught shooting a thing with a .22 long rifle, I'll probably go to jail or the nut house for it. So hey, I mean, it's a hell of a deal when coons and groundhogs cannot be shot any more than niggers can when you're raiding your watermelon patch. And that is the situation we live in today. You really cannot go whining to Zog Babylon, because Zog Babylon has set up the situation to where Jews and niggers and the rest rule over you, and if you go ahead and just shoot the bastards or do anything to them, you're going to get in trouble. Now, as Zog goes ahead and falls apart more and more and more and more and more today, as it falls apart more and more and more today, sooner or later, niggers will go ahead and come across some white guy who will not bow, you know, will not bow down, and instead of just beating the nigger, he'll go ahead and shoot dead the nigger, use his concealed carry weapon or something like that. And the first couple times it happens, woe behold that white man who does it, but you're going to have more and more and more as things fall apart, and eventually you're going to have niggers hunted down and shot and killed, and essentially it's going to be just like the Klan used to do after Reconstruction, to where the Klan just didn't say, hey, look, we're not going to go after every nigger which gets uppity unless we feel like it, but essentially we're going to go ahead and go to the nigger leaders. We're going to tell them, you keep your uppity nigger bucks down. You control them. Because if you don't control them, we will. We will just simply go ahead and wipe out Nigger Town if we have to. And there's still whinings about what was repressed like in 1919 or 1923 and happened in some town in Florida on the Florida panhandle where some niggers ran wild and essentially these Klansmen went ahead and wiped out Nigger Town. You go ahead and read about it in Margaret Mitchell's Gone with the Wind, to where, you know, Scarlett got rid of husband number, what, two?
Frank Kennedy. By, you know, this was in the book, not the, you know, not the movie. And these niggers tried, one nigger tried to rape him, and then this Big Sam recognized that, oh, it was his little missy, so he went ahead and killed the other nigger. And they let the nigger, you know, they let that nigger run, but they, you know, they went ahead and destroyed in Ku Klux Klan raid Shantytown, and then the white Union military went ahead and, pretty well, killed Mr. Kennedy and shot Wesley, you know, Ashley Wilkes. And Rhett Butler was getting his way back in pretty well going along with him, you know, pretend to be a scalawag. So, folks, that is the way things used to happen here. And in the future, when Zog goes ahead and loses control, there's going to be a sort of reign of terror for a short time. Now, unlike in 1877 or whenever the Reconstruction crew left under Rutherford B. Hayes, and pretty well the whites end up taking over, this is a totally different situation in where there's not very many whites left. And as a result, there's going to be an ongoing or oncoming civil war. And it is not going to be pretty. It is not going to be pretty. It's not like Civil War I, where you had disciplined white men simply lining up in regiments and getting shot because incompetent generals. And folks, I think the Southern generals, you know, Robert E. Lee, was far more incompetent than any of them. And the reason he was incompetent is that he, well, at the very least, could not afford to lose Southern white manpower, and that's exactly what he did. In some cases where he made his reputation, he was known as Granny Lee because he insisted that they dig initially, and then people said, no, he's not a very aggressive general. So then he took over when one of the Johnsons got wounded, and then he was very aggressive, and he had more casualties, actual casualties, than McClellan did during the Peninsular War of 1862 or so, 1862. So, folks, what the South should have done is they should have gone ahead and organized like the Boer farmers did. Initially, the Boer farmers won most of the battles against the British, who outnumbered them, but who were disorganized, to go ahead and line up in long lines, and the Boers were real good shots, and they won a number of the battles, but then that made them overconfident, and the British learned, and eventually the Boers got beaten and captured in the fields in a number of big raids. So what did the Boers do? They immediately broke up into what was called commandos of about 10 or 12 or up to 20, maybe even 30 groups mounted on horses, and they carried out hit and run raids against the British. And what did the British do? Well, under Kitchener, they formed a counterinsurgency. They went ahead and fortified on these blockhouses. But how Kitchener ended up winning is he just simply went ahead and rounded up the Boer women and children on their farms and put them in concentration camps where they died. And so the Boers ended up giving up. So, what the South could have done, though, is that it would not, a Lord Kitchener plan would not have worked at that time. The telegraph was relatively new, and so they could have cut the telegraph wires, and essentially they could have gone ahead and mounted a commando, and what Sherman did to Georgia, Nathan Bedford Forrest could have gone ahead and done to Ohio, Illinois, Indiana, the same things that Bloody Bill Anderson and Quantrell and Jesse and Frank James and the Younger Brothers and the rest did in Missouri. And essentially told the North is that essentially we are going to have our own way. We don't care if we have to
drag things down to caveman level to where it's just simply kill or be killed or total war and give the North total war, and they could have won by going ahead and doing that. And just having Robert E. Lee simply do defensive tactics here, maybe keep a 10,000-man army to go ahead and shoot down Federals who would crawl up right in front like they used to do. But folks, don't do that yourself. The most bloody battle where Lee lost the most was at Gettysburg, and charging up for a mile on Pickett's charge and destroyed an entire division. A third of Lee's army, or 40% of Lee's army, dead because of that. Okay? So, well, the thing about it is during Civil War II, guess number 9, you're making an assumption. You're making an assumption is that there will be organization and people in charge of anything. Now, what you had to, you know, what you had today, and this is what struck me, I really didn't prepare for anything, but you had some young tard, and by the way, Russ Walker is not going to be with us tonight, but you had some young tard come in, and what he did is he created his own Eli James, show on Talk Show. And Alan Truett, was having a fit about it. And I went over there, and essentially what it was some young tard who essentially had nothing good to say about Christian identity. And he was just, he would not even get on the line. He would not even talk, as far as I know. I don't know if there was actually anything. All he would do was just write simple sentences. And, folks, that didn't amount to anything. What I've seen, though, is I've seen an upswing in these talk show shows. And a big upswing by a whole bunch of Aryan Nation factions, be it Paul Mullett's, be it Morris Gillette's, be it whatever. And essentially, most of these people have no idea of what the heck they're talking about. Me, I can talk for hours about the matter at hand and how it related to what happened 15, 20 years ago, and people do go ahead and listen to it. But what you do see is that you see more and more and more fragmentation within the movement. And in the case of Eli James, I made fun big time of him today. He did not go ahead and block me like, and I was making fun of McFag. I was making fun of Pure Lily, Pure Silly. But what was amazing is this West Allis show essentially had a bunch of retards who aren't quite white in any case. These Jeff Shoup, and from what I gather, Jeff Shoup abandoned his family in Milwaukee or wherever he was here, and he moved to Minneapolis. Found a new family, and from what I gather, his new family, she used to be a mud shark married to a nigger. She is a nigger kid. So here you have a bunch of Anglo-Mestizos, Eastern Anglo-Mestizos, who usually follow the Creed-tard religion. But what they did is they invited a Jew to, Eli James, to go ahead and speak to them. Or show up at this rally. So, folks, what you have is you have a bunch of Anglo-Mestizo creatards inviting a Jew to talk about Christian identity. Now, doesn't that sort of seem absurd to you? The defenders of the white race are a bunch of Anglo-Mestizo creatards living in urban areas where they're already drowned out by niggers, but they don't have enough money to flee to the suburbs. So what they do is that they run around in uniform, in costumes, and they're inviting a Jew to talk about Christian identity. Now, pardon me, but I don't see how that is going to go ahead and save the white race. I don't see how that's going to go ahead and save Yahweh's servant nation. But I don't see how anything man-made is going to save Yahweh's servant nation. The only thing that I see saving Yahweh's servant nation is to have nature take its course to where Zog Babylon has done its dead level best to destroy the white nations, and as a result there's fewer and fewer and fewer whites. Folks, as an exercise, I've been doing these shows for a year and a half now. And what I do when I'm doing them, like, you know, last March, I seen the tsunami as it happened. I see what news are going on, your little top stories, what have you. And what I do, in order to go ahead and do these shows, I turn the sound off. I turn the sound off, and I go ahead and look at what faces I see. And on these news shows, I see a blonde, or someone like Anderson Cooper, who is very blonde, very blue-eyed, faggy as hell. Or I see some, blonde, but more and more I see that these blondes don't have blue eyes anymore. And what I see is dark, coke eyes here, and I see more and more and more mamsers. And when I started the show, I used to think that there were 150, or 160 million Uyghurs, and 130 or 140 million non-whites, of who the vast majority were pretending to be whites, be they Hispanics or be Jews, be whatever. But when you go ahead and you turn the TV sound off and you actually look at what you see as opposed to what you hear, which is going to raise my blood pressure anyway, but when you go ahead and see what you see fewer and fewer and fewer whites. And I believe that actual pure-blooded whites are a distinct minority. And they're not even majority minority anymore. I sort of think that chances are, if you're going ahead and go on a purity contest, I would say that probably no more than a third of so-called whites are actually pure-blooded whites anymore. Now, I'm not going to go the other way and say that, oh no, like the Jews say, well, you're not white anymore. Since none of you are white, why are you racial activists? You're essentially believing a lie. And folks, these NSM things with you have Anglo-Mestizos, Mamsers, inviting a Jew to talk about Christian identity, yes, that's a total lie. It's total silliness. But look, you boy, there still is quite a few whites who have not miscegenated. And like I responded in response to Dan Johns has no idea what the heck he's talking about in Christian identity. But even if you go ahead and, repeat, you have these mamsers come in and they talk about juicy fruit. I don't like list of fruits here, but I love nothing but Brian's fruits. Well, Brian Reel's gone ahead, and he's been calling the FBI and the Secret Service and Lake County, Ohio Sheriff's Department, about everybody on this crap that he goes ahead on this reaction, mainly episode number 46, after goading John Britton into losing his temper. He doesn't say anything about what he did in order to go ahead and goad them. And the reason he backed off on the Lake County thing is that essentially if he ended up going ahead and making it permanent, and they went ahead and found out that they made an arrest of myself or Pastor John Britton on false, outside their jurisdiction on false charges, they'd be going after him. If you're on the internet, Brian Reel says, come. That's the big way they stays up, you dumb dumb. Sword that censors the air, not all day. Even for body can't change the censoring ways. Sword Manter, Pastor Lynch says that for you. Sword Manter, if he shoots your ass through. Sword Manter, Jim Limbus is after you. Sword Manter, if they try to eat you, you're through. Them wizard Nazis are really crazy clowns. When will they learn they can't blow Manter faggots down? Sword Manter censors the internet all day. Even Nimbus can't take faggot ways. Sword Manter, Pastor Lynch says after you. The Sword Manter Show! If he sues your ass, you do. Do-do-do. Sword Manter, Pastor Lynch says after you. Sword Manter, if he sues your ass, you do. Sword Manter, them Nimbus is after you. Sword Manter, if they can't eat your ass, you do.
So, the little Manter knows that essentially, in many cases, just like a little monkey running around and shitting all over the place, sooner or later people will get tired. The thing about it is okay, somebody said, how you figure McFaggot's a red nigger wife? I don't know. I've heard that he does. And their name is Hilda Serpius. And there was a talk show thing on Eli James, and I need to go ahead and put it up, to where they actually gave a address, I think, Lakeview, Washington. Okay? From what I gather, I think McFag does have a squaw wife. And she is just a good squaw in that she goes ahead and supports. She goes ahead and supports McBragg. Just like, if you go ahead and look at niggers and look at the rest of them, the Bucks don't do any work. Most of the time, the Bucks refuse to do any work. They have the nigger females do the work. Pretty well bear the nigger babies, of course. Breastfeed the nigger babies, but also do all the agriculture work. And from my gather, Bragg has a squaw wife who essentially works for the state government. And maybe that prevents her from being fired because, hey, she's a protected minority and she has a right to have a husband, whoever she wants here. And from what I gather, McBragg may not even be her husband. As far as having a paper thing. He may be married, Christian identity, just like Maui Patricia is married to her number of husbands. Remember Frank and Wigger when we, last week when, I went ahead and read what Maui Patricia actually said? She was married to two men at the time, but, he was no good in bed, so she got a, she got Christian identity marriage, so she got Christian identity divorce here. And then she found one who I guess wasn't as cute or Aryan looking, but, he was in Vegas for 4 days, so, she had a marriage of about 5 days worth here, okay? Well, maybe she was, and maybe she wasn't here. I really don't know. Maybe Covington does claim to have seen McFag and his wife a few times. April Gady is she's sort of a goofy bitch. She's self-promoting as hell. And a lot of times when she runs stuff, it don't go ahead and run very well. But she was all annoyed at Covington. Being banned on Covington's, even though she bans Covington routinely on White News Now. And she was bitching that, one of his, his main webmasters, was censoring her. And that he went ahead and lied about what April said or something like that. He was bitching about the quality of Harold Covington's lieutenants. Well, some of them, like this Mac, I think are very much legit. Very good. Some of them are not. And when I had this big fight with Covington, a lot of it was not only based upon what he wrote at Hail the Ravens that upset me and all the rest of Christianity, it was some of his tards. I got into a fight, anti-Christian one named Von Wiegert. I used to call him Von Wiegert. And we got into a screaming match. Big time screaming match. I ended up getting banned from, you know, from his, is that version of TruthSpeak. And then later on, someone identified himself as Martin Lindstedt, 2003, would come on and say, George of the Jungle, friend to you and me, watch out for that tree, I'm cuckoo for Cocoa Puff. And Covington went ahead and let it happen. So, generally, Covington has a number of lieutenants, and a lot of them are not exactly what I would have. But on the other hand, I don't get to tell him what to do because, well, he don't get to tell me what to do. So part of essentially getting along with Harold Covington involves letting Covington and Covington's lieutenants do whatever the heck they please. Now, having someone, and I've worked it as far as can about how essentially McFagg went ahead and censored a newbie for daring to say Brian Real wasn't white. And McBragg is an embarrassment. McBragg is a total embarrassment. But on the other hand, I don't get to tell Harold Covington what to do. And so I will not get on, I will not sign up, at least not as Pastor Lindstedt, to any of his forums, you know, to any of his forums or where any of his stuff is, because essentially, since I am not going to the Northwest, I don't have a right to go ahead and tell Harold Covington how to run his organization. And Harold Covington has, I believe, since he is a player in the game, folks, I would put up with quite a bit of stuff here. I would put up with Mo Gullett. If Mo Gullett was essentially, was really knew what the heck he was doing, I was supposed to be in a snitch who's getting, Wiggers in trouble. I do not fight with Jeff Shoup. I do not fight with Paul Mullett. Because Paul Mullett gets himself in trouble, but he doesn't go ahead and bring other people in trouble with him. So I don't fight with some of these people, although I do not approve of what they do. And a lot of them are just mamsers, and a lot of them are tards. I don't go ahead and look for fights with the Pearsites and the rest here, but I do go ahead and comment about what's going on. But Covington, as far as running a Nazi organization, he runs about as good a Nazi organization as he can possibly run, given the human material. Now, I'll grant you that you are pretty well prime human material, and Covington might go ahead and use you as straw and pretty good clay to make a pretty good brick. But the vast majority of these critters are people like McFagg, Claudia, the Tantric Flyer, Chadwick, Richard, Dick Giesecke. And the vast majority is that you will have some very good ones like you when you get up there. Mac, Axis Sally. You will have some quality people there. You will have some quality lieutenants. But you will also have a bunch of worthless Jew and Mamser tards going ahead, and for every step two steps he makes forward, they're going to drag him back a step or two. All the way. And that's why it's not going to go ahead, and I believe it's not going to go ahead and work. If Harold Covington were to die tomorrow, I think it would be just like the National Alliance after Pierce. There would be a few little remnants running around, but I don't see any great leaders stepping into the work to finish, to pick up the banner after a great leader fell. Okay? Anyway. Well, I mean, you can try. Oh, by the way, I went ahead and you went ahead and gave some private information about yourself, and I changed the dates of it here. So, in any case, You know, generally, I pretty well, you know, want you to, well, at least as far as when I knew you, I pretty well want you well under the radar, at least, you know, at least insofar as what I'm concerned here. You see, folks, I'm not running a above-ground organization. I'm simply telling, you know, and the 10,000 warlords and the rest who listen to me, I'm telling you, folks, the first thing you do is you get right with Yahweh. First thing you do, you get right with Yahweh. But the second thing you do is you make sure that as much as you can, when we were in the Army, some of us, you know, some of us said, well, hey, most of you people are just simply can fire. I had one drill sergeant. Most of you people are simply can fire. The reason we teach you first aid, reason we teach, you know, some of you how to do all this stuff is that we know that most of you will not know anything about it. You will not retain this knowledge, but there are probably a small portion of you who are the natural leaders who will go ahead and retain some of it, enough of it to go ahead and matter. That's why we do this training. We go ahead and do this training to everyone. But we know that most of you will not get it. Well, folks, if this isn't basic training among people who are volunteers, who at least profess an interest of going ahead and being obedient to the orders, because that's part of your oath as a listed man, that you will obey the orders of the officers appointed over you, both, you know, commissioned and non-commissioned. Folks, if essentially the Army, you know, when they're being a little bit honest with you, knows that most of these people who are there are just simply nothing more than cannon fodder, but yet they're going ahead and teaching everybody to go ahead and do it in the hope that some of it will stick among the better ones, how is Harold Covington with an undisciplined Army, a mass of people going to go ahead and do it? And Robert Franz had a rather little hilarious story. I mean, he had the best webpage ever. I think ever, best white nationals webpage ever. First Amendment exercise machine. And you can get it on a number of places. And I have it over on whitenationalist.org. And what I'm going to do is, I'll probably put it onto another website or something here. But, whitenationalist.org is 80,000 places above Finkelschini's Christogenia and 50,000 above Visser's Covenant People's Ministry, according to this thing I've seen about how much it's worth. Supposedly, whitenationalist.org is worth $10,300 if I was to sell it because of its name here. Well, that's horseshit. The reason it's horseshit is that who's going to go ahead and advertise on whitenationalist.org? Not very many people at all, okay? But what it does tell me is that more people are going over to whitenationalist.org than are going over to Finkelschini's page. Now, I used to be rated around 150,000 way back in 2004. You'd have the cops, everybody listening. What's this thing going to do now that we stole his grandchildren? And folks, people go to my webpage to go ahead and read something new and something different. And people go ahead and listen to this show in order to hear something new and something different that the other white nationalist leaders are not going to go ahead and tell them. And pretty well my message is that, folks, there's no saving Zog. There'll be a great tribulation. And essentially, don't worry about saving Zog. Zog needs to die. That's the whole purpose of the great tribulation. Most of these Mamzers and, you know, all these Mamzers, all these Jews, and all these niggers, and all these beaners need to die. And most of the Uyghurs need to die too. And that is how Yahweh is going to save the white race, by going ahead and getting it to where only a tough remnant remain. And this tough remnant is not going to have very much mercy on the children of regime criminals, on the children of Uyghurs. Folks, the very first person, you need to go ahead and develop yourself some inner ruthlessness, some hardcore ruthlessness if you want to go ahead and survive. And that's what I tell you to do. I tell you first to get right with Yahweh. How do you get right with Yahweh? Well, like I explained again to Dan, you know, on the Dan Johns, is remember how Paul said, by grace, you know, by grace are you saved? Well, folks, you're not going to get grace unless you are right with Yahweh as far as race. You have to have the race. You have to be of the pure-blooded, Adamic, Israelite race before you can go ahead and be extended grace. It's not a matter of fruit. It's not a matter of Talmudic this or that. You know, I'm not going to go to hell because, oh, and I don't eat bacon every day. I don't even eat bacon every week. Usually about, once every month or so. Occasionally, usually often on Friday, we might have sausage biscuits. Okay? I'm not munching down on pork every day or even every week. But I would say, probably a couple times a month. And folks, I'm not saying that this is what you should do. In fact, it sort of is not good for my blood pressure. It's not a health food. It has lots of salt, lots of nitrates, lots of other stuff here, but it is cheap. And it is regrettably tasty, and no, I shouldn't be eating it. But I guess my inner Swede occasionally goes ahead and, gets the best of me. And part of the reason I go ahead and tell people that I'm eating pork every so often, a little troublemaker was whining about, is to pretty well finish off the speculation about how I'm related to some Jew named Samuelson living on the Lone Prairie of South Dakota. I've already told about how, quite true, when I was, 4 or 5, I used to look at my mom get mauled by pigs, wanting to go ahead and get the slop here and knocking over in the bucket here because she didn't know how to deal with pigs. And when she had my brother Monty, well, my dad went ahead and had to slop the pigs, and he didn't put up with any nonsense from pigs. He was just laying, first he got in with that old cane, and he was just wailing around on pig noses. Pig noses with rings on them. And then once he got them pig noses, once he got them pigs sort of in a corner squealing, he went ahead and got the bucket. Then he went ahead and head to him with the bucket before his time. That pig got his nose beat again some more. And then he poured the slop here, and those pigs were about as orderly as pigs are ever are here. They weren't, essentially after he went ahead and left with the bucket, they rushed the trough then. But essentially, they were allowed to rush the trough then. So yes, the Lindsteads and the Schmitz and the Samuelsons and the Svensons and the Ericssons and the Swensons. Why, yeah, they were a bunch of Swedes and Germans, and they ate pork, and they raised pork. I mean, back then, you didn't go, hell was 17 miles to the north. It had a store here, and we'd go to Pier about once every week or two, buy flour, and essentially you didn't buy a whole bunch of meat. You had meat there here, and occasionally we would go ahead and eat the meat that we had gone ahead and rendered in November. So yes, we raised pigs and we ate pigs. And folks, that was the biggest thing my mom bitched about about Herbert's church here was, first thing she bitched about was she couldn't go ahead and fry up bacon anymore. Second thing she bitched about is that supposedly Herbert had a reputation for being a homewrecker, although I don't see any reason why she should bitch because for both my dad and my mom, it was their first marriage and their only marriage. So the question of divorce and remarriage never came up, but she'd heard some stupid crap and she was yapping about it. So folks, you know, I don't know how I even got on this. I'm going to go ahead and take a break, and we'll be back for the next segment. Hail Victory.
Go through Dickie's Airship to see what I can find. I find a bunch of goodies from 2005. I see all those items from the good old days. It's my book, it's my hands, and it's leathers all day. Want to be a swordmaster in the SS. Want to be a sword faggot in the SS. Want to be a swordmaster in the SS. Swordmaster, sword faggot in the SS. With a gay parade, Dickie rolled with pride, sucking off niggers in the dusty countryside. Every red nigger bastard that wanted to pay, we would suck them off day after day. Want to be a sword master in the SF? Want to be a sword faggot in the SF? Want to be a sword master in the SF? Sword master, sword faggot in the SF! Today I grin when I see his bull whip. My sphincter's battle tested. I know it's still a drip. Get that little butt, a gleam in my eyes. Call me Brian Real, I tell nothing but lies. I'll be a swordmaster in the SF. I'll be a sword faggot in the SF. I'll be a swordmaster in the SF. Swordmaster, sword faggot in the SF. Wanna be a swordmaster in the SF. Wanna be a sword faggot in the SF. Wanna be a swordmaster in the SF. Swordmaster, sword faggot in the SF.
Okay, we're back. I decided to go ahead and look at the chat here. There's a number of things that was going on. We were discussing Hell Covington's Hill, the Ravens, and why I didn't like it. And Northwest, he thinks we were mad because of the description. And yes, the description was a little bit annoying. But, you know, there were other things that was annoying at the time. And, you know, folks, when I read the second book about Shane Ryan and his, scene from the view of a young white man about the revolution and shooting Jews and niggers and zoglings and, you know, pig lice and the rest here. And when he was talking about how the revolution began on, what, October 22nd, October 23rd in Cordell Lane, over some pigs going ahead and stealing children and how that family died. I mean, folks, I had just come off just a month or two previously of having my grandchildren stolen. And, folks, I forgave Hill Covington everything on Hill of the Ravens when I read A Distant Thunder. And pretty well I didn't get to read book number three, A Mighty Fortress, book number four, The Brigade. And folks, I've long since forgiven Hill Covington for Hill the Ravens, but that doesn't mean I still like Hill the Ravens. I still don't. But in any case, Hill has really understood about Christian identity sensibilities, and essentially he doesn't really annoy us here. In fact, I almost wish he would, and then have McFag, you know, go run stomping off here. McFag, Steve Elder, whatever the hell's name is. I mean, shoot. I could almost, forgive him for writing something bad about Christian identity if it would run off McFag, Steve Elder, but it won't. But let me see. We have a number of interesting videos. But pretty well what I was going to go ahead and discuss tonight was that it struck me looking at this young tards who went ahead and made a bogus, spurious Eli James page with Eli James with a little Jew hat, you know, big old Jew cowboy hat like that other Jew picture with Rahm Emanuel that I usually, you know, juxtapose next to him. And he put some little, you know, Jew dreadlocks, you know, beside him and called it, what, Covenant People or something like that. But folks, it was a young tart who essentially didn't really have much of a show
simply was going from the creatard aspect of it. And someone went ahead and posted this Tom Scabrous or something like that over on VNNF. And yes, the critters call me a child molester, but the meme of how Christian identity, above ground Christian identity, has been taken over by Jews, by Mamsers, by criminals, and you have Visser. This morning I was arguing with Visser. Visser is trying to get back into Christian identity. And from what I gather, he thinks he can do it because, from what I gather, his mother-in-law is locked up now. What does that tell me? That tells me is that maybe Zog decided to let Visser come back to pretending to be Christian identity and did lock up the mother-in-law. I don't know what the mother-in-law would be locked up for. But folks, I sort of sympathize with the mother-in-law. The mother-in-law at least understands enough about Christian identity to realize that her grandchildren, since they're going to be labeled as Mamsers, have no part in Christian identity. What is the point of naming a high yeller Phineas? What's the point of doing that? There's no point. So, in any case, yeah, the Christian identity is how, in many cases, a bunch of Mamsers want to be in Christian identity defines us. This National Socialist Movement with Jeff Shoup. They go ahead and talk about how they do not hate niggers, how they do not hate Jews. They just want to go ahead and have a place for, you know, white people to live without niggers and Jews. Well, folks, how are you going to go ahead and have a place without niggers and Jews for white people to live, since Jews and niggers are parasites of the white people? How are you going to go ahead and get rid of any parasitic infestation? How does that work out? How is that going to work out? I would submit that it's not going to work out very well at all. I would go ahead and submit is that, well, essentially parasitic creatures like Jews and Mamsers and niggers are not going to simply liquidate themselves like Joseph Stalin says. Essentially, this rally is just a means by which people want to go ahead and pretend to be something that they're not. These bogus Christian identity shows, be it Eli James, be it Finkelschee, be it Alan Truitt, be it what have you, none of them know, Dan Johns, none of them know what Christian identity truly is about. The reason they don't know what Christian identity is about is that they're not, in many cases, quite, or if in the case of Gillette, they're deeply flawed. Essentially, nothing more than just moral pygmies, little moral cowards, moral degenerates. Someone like Gillette doesn't seem to realize is that Christian identity isn't about him getting to play Aryan nations after he's been caught. Every single time that he gets a little bit of power, he uses it to get himself in trouble and take other people with him. He goes ahead and he brings in Mamsers, who anybody can see as a Mamser, like Brian Wright, and makes him a member of the board of directors, and then acts surprised when someone like me tells him, hey, look, Visser and Brian Wright are trying to go ahead and get to your trust fund. You need to keep them worthless bastards out. Did Gillette thank me? No. John Britton went ahead and took over as senior pastor for 5 years. Let's see. January or December of 2000, December of 2005, January 2006, 2007, 8, 9, 10. 5 years. That was longer than Gillette had ever been head of Church of the Sons of Yahweh. He went ahead and took over it, and Gillette didn't even thank him one bit. Went ahead and talked about great people who'd saved the church here. And then he went ahead and worked to where, hey, if you used to be a member back in the day when Gillette ran the first time, well, your membership's revoked.
But he's letting in Visser, Manzer. I have no idea. I have not seen a picture of this Alan Truett. But I would not be surprised in the least if he was a cork-eyed Manzer with a long history of criminal behavior who essentially got a prison ministry to go ahead and send him at, you know, at cost an AIT course from Mike Callimore. And just like Brian Wright, not a bit of gratitude, because Brian Wright ended up calling Lorraine Swift, said that she married a Manzer named Wesley Swift and had a bunch of little Manzer bastard kids by him. Folks, criminals, most of the people in prison, there are some innocent people there. I'd say probably as many as a third. But folks, the vast majority of people in prisons are criminals. Nasty criminals. Criminals who go ahead and essentially are predators. And folks, since Yahweh's law doesn't make any provision for criminals, and neither did Hitler's Third Reich. Most of these people, you know, like this Jew John Tolan said in 1946, most of these people even then pretend to be Nazis. Adolf Hitler would go ahead and lock up in a eugenics camp, maybe sterilize a few of them, call them mattoids. There was a rather chilling portion to where Lothar Stoddard had a number of interviews with Mussolini, who said that Mussolini was far more affable. Oh, troublemaker. Well, troublemaker, if you want to go ahead and call in, why, go ahead and say you'll call in about 5 minutes. I can go ahead and talk with you a few minutes here. I went ahead and answered some of your questions already. But your wife said that you were indisposed, so I assume that you had had a hard day and you had turned in or something. So maybe if you had your nap, you can call in. But go ahead and give me a couple minute notice. But folks, most of these people at this NSM rally are not, in many cases, pure white. And the ones that are, they're filled. Their little heads are filled with nonsense about how they're not about hate. They're not about going ahead and killing niggers or Jews or anything like that here, folks. Now, folks, if a real Christian identity resistance were to come about here and Yahweh was to go ahead and let it stand, folks, a Christian identity entity would not tolerate Jews. Any Manzers that went ahead and helped it would be given a reward at the expense of the conquered, area. And at the very end, you would have America looking very much like an onion, to where there would be layers and layers and layers of whiteness here, and the lesser whites would be on the edge. On the edge. And the niggers, if they were not exterminated altogether, would be shoved to the southeast. The beaners driven back to Mexico to make as well they can here. And the Indians, the quote Native Americans, would be put on reservations like they are in South Dakota. See, folks, segregation does work when people actually, like in South Dakota, do not like Indians. you know, Indians. Segregation does work. It works in South Dakota. Number of families would have leases on Indian land. And essentially, they would go ahead and occasionally, not on weekends, and certainly not on the first and third weekend, they would occasionally have a few little feasts here, and occasionally they might go ahead and choke down a little bit of skunk and dog, just to be polite. But folks, it was mainly Samuelsons who did that. But none of my Samuelson relatives would even think of having sex with a Indian. My grandfather
had a hired man who was, you know, he was dark because he was always out in the sun. I thought he was an Indian. But essentially it turned out that he was a squaw man. He was a squaw man. And I used to play with the Indian kids. Somewhat. But, you know, that's why, you know, first year, you know, I went to Pierre because they did not want me going to an Indian school. A school with Indians in it. That's the way South Dakota is. So, yes, there is, you know, Indians belong. If you're going to let them live, they belong on freaking reservations. And, but the thing about it is that that's not in the cards. It's not in the cards to have a revolutionary, successful revolution. How things are going to handle, like, you know, like Harold Covington believes he wants here, and everybody says he wants. That's not going to happen. What is going to happen is there is going to be a collapse. We see everything going around here, and like I've explained to people, we are not about building something. In many cases, I may not get a single watermelon from my, you know, from my garden across the street. I may not, because of groundhogs. Folks, how can you go ahead and build any nation within a nation like Harold Covington was saying here? How can you build any pioneer little Europes here? How can you go ahead and run off to a cabin north woods here when you've gone ahead and seen what happened 19 years ago at Ruby Ridge? How can you believe that you are going to go ahead and be able to form a community by yourself, even if it's sort of politically correct and you have your token amount of niggers and the rest? How's that going to happen? Why don't you go ahead and ask what happened, you know, how it worked out for David Koresh and the Branch Davidians? Didn't work out too good for them. Didn't work out very good for Randy Weaver. You see, the one time I went to a rally, what I see is I see the pigs looking daggers at the few whites that are doing it there, because the pigs know is that what these whites stand for is the end of all Babylon. And all these talk about unity under one leader. Folks, anytime you hear someone, Christian Identity, say that here, supposedly Christian Identity, you're talking to a partisan of Cain and a partisan of Nimrod. Folks, the Christian Identity, the white thing to do, is to go ahead and form weak governments and a strong people. We don't believe in unity. We don't believe, essentially, in getting along and mixing like and unlike. Because Christian Identity is of the blood. And folks, I'm going ahead and admitted that occasionally I do eat pork. Folks, that pork will go ahead, and it usually does, give me a slightly higher blood pressure. And essentially what it is, you end up having a craving for it, then you go ahead and satisfy the craving for it, and then you feel a little bit miserable over it. And that sort of swears you off of it for a while. You know what I mean? Just like Morris Goulet has a craving for cocaine or Bolivian nose candy. Occasionally, my inner sweet gets the best of me and I have a craving for pork. And occasionally, I go ahead and indulge, and then I'm not feeling too good. And then I remember, well, let's not do that again. And, you know, hey. You know, after about a month or so, I remember the taste of it, and oh, it's so nice here. And I sort of forget the, you know, slightly higher blood pressure, you know, a little bit of indigestion over it. And I go ahead and partake of it. And is that good for me? No. Nope. In fact, I could go ahead and lose 30 pounds and be a little bit tough here, and I would be a lot better for it by losing 30 pounds. And it doesn't do me any good that my brother weighs 335. He's only an inch taller than me, 6'3" or so. It doesn't do me any good that he's fat, you know, that he's way fat. You know, it doesn't go ahead and take the 30 pounds off that I need to lose. Okay? 25 pounds that I need to lose. You know, I don't expect to be 205 pounds like I was at the end of basic training. You know, I don't expect to be that.
You know, but hey, I should be about 230 pounds like I was when I got out of the nut house, when I got out of jail. Stay away at 255 pounds or so. So yeah, I could go ahead and, you know, or 260, 255, 260. So yeah, I could go ahead and lose some weight. But folks, that pork will go ahead and eventually be through my system. It'll go ahead and get through my system. I will eventually have a dump and pretty well leave that pork behind. Sort of like Vegas. Sort of like Vegas. Okay. All right. Well, it hasn't killed me yet, okay? Oh, I don't think he's gotten, I don't think trouble, you know. Well, okay, guess number 7, eat pork if you want here. I don't know if pork is good here. You know, but instead of speaking from the Stouffville Bible, oh, heck. Well, guess number 12 I think is a troll. But unlike here, we like trolls. What, biscuits and gravy in the morning? So where are you going to get the sausage at? Are you going to go ahead and open some up, woman? Oh, good Lord, the woman's already, you know, she's like Eve here. She's plotting already to lead me astray tomorrow morning. This woman you've given me, she didn't give me of the what? Of the Pepperidge Farm, and I didn't eat. And I probably will here. And then I'll go ahead. Folks, people have gone ahead and asked about Adam eating of the fruit of the tree here. And you say, well, if you end up eating of the fruit of the tree and you end up having sex, and you have all these no-demon people from Sheldon Emery who don't want to go ahead and admit that Eve went ahead and she was a slut, essentially, here. She was a round-heeled slut here who had sex with the devil and produces Cain the Jew. And you have the Sheldon Emery, you have the Clint Downey, a little meerkat, and, you know, a friend of mine is pretty well conversing with this Aussie heifer, and she essentially is doing the same thing. Eve was just a little angel and all this sort of thing. She didn't go ahead. And, you know, how come Adam ate of the fruit as well? Was Adam, did Adam have homosexual sex with Satan? And folks, you know that's not the case. Because, well, among the imputations was that Adam went ahead and sinned with Eve. But you go ahead and read it. You know, I've been thinking. And what I see is that Adam, in some cases, sinned because the woman, which was under his control, sinned, and she, you know, pretty well, he let her, and she went ahead. So you go ahead and read this, you know, you go ahead and read about how the woman was punished by being placed under the dominion of her husband forever and ever and ever, and how essentially she would have her babies in pain. And the man, he was cursed and saying, well, no longer will the earth give of you freely. You must have to work for a living. And by the sweat of your brow will you go ahead and earn your living. And for Satan, of course, he would say that, you know, like your descendants of Jews, you'd go ahead and be crawling the dirt and eating shit here all the time. And ever since, these Jews, Satan's kids, have been essentially sneaking their way in to among the Israelites and trying to take over their racial religion by coming up with all sorts of Talmudic predilections here. But folks, I was sort of thinking that Adam ended up eating of the tree because he allowed Eve to eat of the tree, and because he was, even before this pronouncement, supposed to be head over his wife. Essentially, whatever sin she did, he ended up being a part of it because he is responsible for it here. Folks,
when a pig goes ahead and does something like knock out teeth or steal children or something like that, they're masters who go ahead and pay for the police. The ones who go ahead and hire these pigs, they've gone ahead and taken the sin as well. And all you need to do is tell them once that their pig went in and committed a sin. And essentially, they're as guilty of treason or more guilty than the pig who actually did commit the sin. Okay? Well, thing about it is that, you know, well, Russ, hey, Russ?
Yeah.
Yeah. Hey, Russ?
Yeah.
The problem of it is that, by the way, the thing is done here, by the vagaries of Talk Show, Russ, could you go ahead and call the home phone? You know, call my home phone, because the thing about it is if I go ahead and I had to edit this out where essentially I was repeating what Dan John says, I have to mute the call. I have to go ahead and mute the computer. So what happens is that I want you to go ahead and call in, but I want you to go ahead and use the house phone, not the one on there. Okay, thank you, Russ. Anyway, I'm going to go ahead, and as far as, okay, hold on, folks. Hey, that you, Russ?
Yep.
Okay, well, hold on. Let me save this. Let me go ahead and save what I got.
Hey, I don't know who this guy 12 is.
Our flag is proudly floating on the land and on the main. Shout, shout the battle cry of freedom. Beneath it oft we've conquered and will conquer oft again. Shout, shout the battle cry of freedom. Our Dixie forever, she's never had a loss. Down with the eagle and up with the cross. We will rally round the bonnie flag, we'll rally once again. Shout, shout the battle cry of freedom. Our gallant boys have marched to the rolling of the drums. Shout, shout the battle cry of freedom. And the leaders in charge cry out, come, boys, come. Shout, shout the battle cry of freedom. Our Dixie forever, she's never had a loss. Down with the eagle and up with the cross. We will rally around the bonnie flag, we'll rally once again. Shout, shout the battle cry of freedom. They have laid down their lives on the bloody battlefield. Shout, shout the battle cry of freedom. Their motto is resistance to the tyrants, never yield. Shout, shout the battle cry of freedom. Our Dixie forever, she's never had a loss. Down with the eagle and up with the cross. We will rally around the bonnie flag, we'll rally once again. Shout, shout the battle cry of freedom.
Well, I guess he didn't want to go ahead and answer here. Oh, well. Well, I'm not going to go ahead and call these other people. So, Anyway. Okay, folks, we're back, and I have this thing recording. Now, let's see. I went ahead and lost this last interview with, the last half of the interview. And essentially, the reason I think Visser is a Mamser is because, well, I had my suspicions when Brian Wright called Visser a Mamser. And essentially, Visser is just simply nothing more than a criminal who goes ahead and hides. But essentially, the reason I called Visser a Mamser is that Visser himself said he was a Mamser, said that his full-blooded brother, Sean Aaron Visser, was his full-blooded brother. Let me go ahead and see if I got this. Sometimes I can go ahead and see my own forum. I can see my own forum on the page without having to use a proxy server. Sometimes I can't. So it's up. Let's go ahead and look at this thing right here. Okay, where's it about Visser? Hi, I'm Jeremy Visser, and I'm a Mamser Bail Priest thread. Well, you look at Visser's brother, and essentially Visser went ahead and said that was his full-blooded brother. You know what I mean? Now, can you go ahead and say that Visser is responsible for the fact that his brother, in 2009, married this mud shark who has a nigger kid? Or maybe it wasn't a mud shark. Maybe it was just another beaner. Let's see. Folks, you can go ahead and see for yourself. But I mean, let's go ahead and post image location, or you can look at Visser's full-blooded brother, Sean Aaron Visser, or Aaron Sean Visser. I'm not quite sure which. Right offhand, you can go ahead and look at Visser's full-blooded brother. Okay? Here's Sean Visser. That's his full-blooded brother. His full-blooded brother. He's with Jiminy Cricket. Jiminy Cricket looks whiter than Sean Visser. Okay? Sean Visser is the admin for Visser's latest forum here. Now, essentially, today, Visser went ahead and said his mother-in-law, his adversary, the woman who essentially didn't like her youngest daughter, going ahead and taking up with a Mamser criminal, Mamser criminal religious bigot from Christian Identity. And, I don't really think the mother-in-law would be locked up. I don't see why she would be locked up. I mean, she seems to me to have perfect good sense. I mean, his mother-in-law is a Catholic. Catholicism is far more kind to Mamsers than Christian Dandy ever is, or ever will be. Visser has no future in Christian Dandy. I mean, folks, even if you're one of his followers, essentially, and you posted to his old noontide host forum, free form, he went ahead and removed it, and he didn't go ahead and bring it back like he said he would. He could go ahead and put up another forum on Covenant People's Ministry, but he has no intention of doing it. His first few bulletin forum, he went ahead and lied that old Amy Rose supposedly got him kicked off here. Claimed that I'm Amy Rose. No, Amy Rose is some woman, silly woman, who said, look at me, I'm sweet Amy Rose, and essentially they're claiming, because Obagender Bender wants him to claim as much, that I'm Amy Rose. Or Amy Rose is one of my sock puppets. Nope, that ain't the case. Folks, this or simply is a Mamzer. He's a Cherokee Mamzer. He knows far more than, you know, he knows far more about Christian identity than Eli James, a.k.a. Juice of November Cuts, and infinite more than Rabbi William Finkelschini. And he's a sort of white-looking Mamzer. Now, I used to think about the cheekbones, that was because he was a meth goober, and he is a meth goober. He is a meth goober. But, that still doesn't, if you go ahead and look at his brother, his full-blooded brother, looks like a Boehner. There's a reason this full-blooded brother looks like a Boehner. It's because Visser is a man for himself. He went ahead and changed his avatar over at Stumblin to Cherokee Visser. Or no, maybe changed it to Cherokee. He changed it. He went ahead and deleted his... He deleted his forum. He deleted his post here. Now, he went ahead and saved the data, but hey, he was trying to convince the judge that he was not a white supremacist because he wasn't white. Okay? So, in any case, let me go ahead and go on to this West Allis rally. Eli James was gone yesterday night. He had a skill-licking tard, Greggy Howard, on there. And essentially, Greggy went ahead and censored the crap out of me. He went ahead and blocked me. And I'm not sure. I think he blocked all the guests. He just simply blocked all the guests. Now, Eli James is smart enough to figure out that he's not going to go ahead and grow his congregation if he goes ahead and blocks guests. But you had earlier a VNN post here where essentially it's all my talking points is that Christian identity is filled with criminals like Gillette, like Truett, who are Mamzers, like Visser, and Dan Johns, serial polygamous Mamzer, and that's what 84.5 was about. Dan Johns, serial polygamous Mamzer bail priest. That's pretty well what I changed it to. Now, pretty well, Linder sort of backed off a little bit of fighting with the moderate tards, so I'm not going to go ahead and discuss too much about Linder. In fact, I'm not really going to have a 4-hour show tonight anyway. But folks, what you have, if you go ahead and look at it, you have a bunch of essentially creatards. Now, last year, they had a big NSM rally at Knoxville, and they had this Chris Harrington, who was a Satanist, and for the better part of the year, the NSM didn't amount to anything. Now, because there was this nigger riot at the Milwaukee State Fair in West Allis, which is part of Milwaukee, that's where it was at, you have a little bit more people than usual because, well, essentially, they haven't been rallied out this year. But you have about, what, so many under Commander Shoup? And from what I gather, Commander Shoup went ahead and abandoned his family. He has a history of criminal activity, minor petty criminal activity. He abandoned his family. He married some woman who supposedly is a mud shark. And they talk about her nigger kid named Amber. They refer to it as Ambergate. And I'm not quite sure if Ashkenazi Asswipe is going to go ahead and censor any of those comments or not. I don't really go ahead and discuss too much the NSM. And the reason I don't is because while they're sort of movement, same reason I don't talk too much about Wickstrom. Folks, everybody who knows anything should know about what Wickstrom is doing.
Now, from what I gathered, Russ Walker hears that Wickstrom is going to go ahead and close up his TalkShoe account here. And what this particular program is about is you have more tards coming in, creating their own little shell, and from what I gather, it's sort of diluting the listenership quite a bit. Now, I would probably have twice as many listeners now, maybe over 20, if more people knew about the location of the show. But for now, I'm perfectly satisfied with, pretty well. I mean, this is better than TeamSpeak. But certainly better than Pal Talk. Still got that Pal Talk chat room, and I don't think I've even opened it for a while. So, I'm sort of satisfied with that. And Brian Rio didn't do a show. So essentially, the Manzer Boy is finding more and more and more that he has more and more people who are on to him as a Manzer. Like I explained, he's a Judas Manzer. Everybody knows that, he's not white, he's not heterosexual, and they're wondering about Clifton Emhiser, they're wondering about why are you making such a big deal. Like last night, you had Finkelschini, who of course was banning everybody. I went ahead and just called in just to have a list of Pastor Winstead calling in and hanging up. But you had Finkelschini and Emhiser talking at length about whether Charlotte of Mecklenburg, who was the mother, who was the wife of George III, and the mother of George I, or George IV, whether or not she had a little bit of nigger in her. And I don't think she did. I don't think she had any nigger in her. But I haven't listened to, thing, and maybe they're right, maybe they're wrong, but does it really matter? You have all these people talking about a portion of nigger in Charlotte of Mecklenburg, who was the wife of George III, who was the mother of George IV. And folks, I did go ahead and read a fiction book that I bought for a quarter about, life of Charlotte and essentially how she was a little princess who from a poor country who was essentially brought to be nothing more than a breeder to go ahead and breed a lot of children. And she did. She had, 9, 10, 11, 12 children? Most of them which went ahead and made it. But as she ended up having, after 9 or 10, the babies weren't as healthy after the 9th or 10th one. And I'm not going to blame her too much for that. But folks, why are you talking about whether Charlotte of Mecklenburg, who married George III, why are you talking about whether or not she may have had a little small amount of nigger in her when essentially you're allowing all these Mamsers, and certainly a nigger faggot like Brian Rio, who shows he's a Mamzer. And folks, I'm not going to go ahead and reveal that, Frank and Wigger's little video. It looks like it's over in Dutchland anyway. And Brian Rio's going to be bitching about it. So folks, I'm going to go ahead and ask people to go ahead and save their copy of it as much as they can. And, as soon as they can, I'll go ahead and send a copy of that video so they can go ahead and go to keepvid.com and download their own copy of it before I go ahead and post it over on Nimbusters or anything like that so that everybody else can go ahead and see it. Well, folks, you essentially have these people who are letting in no niggers, no mamsers like Dan Johns. And that's why I posted the movement third about. So, folks, the meme is spreading that Christian identity is filled with Mamzers, filled with Jews, filled with criminals. And if people say, well, Martin, you're giving Christian identity a bad name, all I got to say is that Christian identity should have a bad name. It should have a very bad name. Because it's not for real anymore. it is just nothing more than Mamzers and Jews and tards and snitches. Folks, what did this rally in West Allis do other than to promote Jeff Shoup and to promote Eli James? And it's ridiculous on its very face having Anglo-Mestizo creatards invite a Jew Christian identity minister. I mean, essentially, tards who in a national socialist state would be pretty well put in a concentration camp and made to behave and be made to be cured, inviting a Jew who, under national socialism, would definitely be put in a concentration camp, and talking about what? How the niggers are running wild? The niggers are running wild, folks. What's the secret to letting niggers run wild? Well, there is nothing you can really do about it. We have a nigger, in case you haven't noticed it, we have a nigger in the White House. We have a nigger as the Attorney General. And the nigger in the White House and the nigger Attorney General is letting in a whole bunch of beaners come across, and they're not deporting them anymore. In case you haven't noticed, the nigger in charge as nigger Attorney General allows Black Panthers to go ahead and intimidate white voters. In case you haven't noticed it, essentially the nigger in the White House and the nigger Attorney General want to go ahead and supposedly open up a, quote, dialogue, a racial dialogue in which whites have no portion other than to go ahead and say that we need to go ahead and work more harder. We need to go ahead and open up the Martin Luther King here thing. And it's a pity that Yahweh got pissed off with the earthquake and the hurricane to where the nigger couldn't officially open up his monument, but people can go ahead and look at the nigger, statue of a nigger done by a chink, and worship there if they wish. But folks, what did this NSM rally accomplish? Pretty soon we're going up to this 9/11 memorial, and I hope to have all my shows up, and I hope to go ahead and do a special 9/11 memorial as well. But folks, I was there at 9/11, and I got to go ahead and see what happened, and what I seen in the face, in the case of Zog, was Wiggers panicking, Wiggers scared, Wiggers essentially scared that the price of gasoline would go ahead and rise to $10 a gallon, and it jumping up in Joplin from $1.56.9 to $2. And then the Attorney General, Jay Nixon, who's now the governor, going ahead and going after a few of them who charged $3 or $4 a gallon of gas. I've seen long gas lines. I've seen Wiggers who didn't have too much confidence in Zog's ability to defend them. I see that Osama bin Laden got his wish. He wanted America to be put into a... He wanted America to be put into a sort of a... Oh, he wanted to be put into a war against Muslims. Get these Muslim countries off their ass and get them to join his Al-Qaeda. But he wanted Zog to pour its blood and its treasure in Iraq and Afghanistan. And $4 trillion and thousands and hundreds of thousands of lives later, under George Bush and now Obongo, we are now in Iraq. We are now still in Afghanistan, getting into Pakistan, where we essentially murder women and children with multi-million dollar predator drones and kill them. And we sort of think that that's going to stabilize Pakistan.
In the meanwhile, we allow the Jew banksters to go ahead and loot the pension funds, including of teachers and pigs. And folks, I'm sort of glad the Jews are going ahead and turning the pigs and teachers' pensions from a 401k to a 201k to a 101k to another 1k. I sort of like seeing, like last year, the city of Neosho having to fire half of its pigs and half of its fire pigs. I sort of believe that what we ought to have is a volunteer fire department, not professional firefighters. And what I also believe is that folks, people should learn to not do stupid shit to where they end up having fires. Now, as a result, the size of this government, the size of Zog Babylon, is twice as much, twice as large. And folks, the revenue coming in is falling apart as people, more and more Uyghurs, lose their jobs. You have an official unemployment rate of slightly less than 10%. You have an actual unemployment rate of 20% or better. Some cases, 26%, and among niggers, folks, no one wants to hire a nigger. Niggers are far more trouble than what they're worth. So as a result, we have a bankrupt nation. We have a stupid, downbred population. We essentially have in this bowel movement a whole bunch of Uyghurs and Mamzers and Jews wanting to tell the rest of the Uyghurs what to do and how they should do it. You have in the movement a whole bunch of Uyghurs who believe that we can go ahead and vote our way out, and somehow we are going to get a nation state without need for bloodshed. We have old Cunthill Wallace believing that we can go ahead and have a reinvigorated Dixie in Alabama. Well, Cunthill, let me ask you this here. What are we going to do about the niggers? Are we going to be able to go ahead and load them aboard a boat, move them to Africa? Or are we just going to go ahead and move them to Mississippi on one side and Georgia on the other and make Alabama a pure white country again? And so that's not going to happen. Are we going to go ahead and elect Pat Buchanan? Well, folks, I've had dealings with Pat Buchanan. Pat Buchanan denounced me for racism back in 2001. And folks, I just simply agreed with Pat Buchanan is that we shouldn't let any more beaners come into this country. We shouldn't let niggers run wild. We should go ahead and fight against the decline of the West. And essentially my reward for that was to be denounced for Pat Buchanan to say that if I got elected in the primary Reform Party primary, he would refuse to campaign in Missouri running for president. He would boycott Missouri for committing the sin of electing a racist, vile, even bigoted racist like myself. And Pat, you think you're going to go ahead and work with such whores? Now, folks, I don't have a problem with Kevin McDonald's, but, folks, I've never read Kevin McDonald's book. I've read a little bit of summary of it. Kevin McDonald says that Jews are parasitic critters here who essentially look after themselves. Well, folks, I could have told you that. I don't need to read Kevin McDonald's book. I got a book right there, right, within arm's reach of me, albeit it's a King James perversion, that tell me that Jews are a spawn of Satan, that you shouldn't allow them to live among you. Essentially, they're just evil critters who will just simply screw you up and be a perpetual thorn, and that if you allow them, they and niggers and mamzers and beaners and stuff would go ahead and drive you, the Uyghur, very, very low and put themselves up very, very high, and that would be a curse that you deserve because you couldn't obey Yahweh. Well, I didn't need to read Dr. Kevin McDonald's book. I'm quite sure it's a wonderful book. But, folks, I don't need to read it because, well, hey, I got a book already that I own that I've read several times that tells me all about Jews and what kind of critters they are. You know, where Jesus Christ says in John 8:44 that they are their father, the devil, here, and that their other father, Cain, was the first murderer, always been murderers and always loved lies. I mean, why do I need to read Sam Francis, edging around it here? Why do I need to read Kevin McDonald? For that matter, why do I need to read Alex Lender? Oh, by the way, they're reprinting, you know, on CNN with Piers Morgan, a Wheelos, this, you know, this Mormon, who's pretty well rotted, just like most of the Mormons, this Mormon adopted two niglets, or gooklets, one from China and one from Malaysia or wherever, two little mudlets, and essentially brought the mudlets into his family. Essentially, Mr. Huntsman is a bona fide race traitor, but we're supposed to go ahead and vote for this piece of shit who essentially served under a bongo. Essentially, all he is just, you know, former governor of Utah, who essentially is one of these rancid Mormons who have rotted out. Now, the Mormons around here, when they go ahead and get fairly high, they seem to have always one son who's got to go ahead and miscegenate with Japanese or something. And then they wonder, well, why do you think they're Mamzers? What's a Mamzer? And I explain to them, it's a miscegenated bastard, that they don't have any souls. And then they get all pissed off at me for being racist. Well, folks, the Book of Mormon, Mormonism used to be a racial religion. It held that the American Indians were Lamanites. And it used to hold that you couldn't be part of the Abrahamic covenant priesthood unless you were white. Well, folks, that's long gone because the Mormons, what they want to do is they want to go ahead and go along in order to get along. But I'm looking at this commercial about Chevy, and they have some white people in it. But it seems nowadays when I go ahead and look at commercials, what I see essentially is the need to go ahead and put a nigger or two in it, to go ahead and sully, you know, whatever commercials in with non-whites or with gooks or whatever. And it got especially bad. I remember the second anniversary of 9/11, to where you had only one white person. You had a whole bunch of niggers and gooks and Jews and critters claiming to be Americans when they weren't. Now there's a little commercial about how pigs are going after motorcyclists, even though motorcyclists are not really a factor in any fatal accidents here. So, what is the NSM going to go ahead and do about saving the white race? The answer is nothing. Folks, avoid these ass clowns. Avoid these idiots. Avoid whatever. Christian identity is indeed filled with Jews. It's filled with Mamzers. It's filled with criminals. And then the rest of them are desperately looking for leadership, and they're running around in circles doing stuff that's not going to go ahead and solve anything. Folks, I do not set myself up as a leader really of anything. I just simply recommend that first what you do is you look after, you know, you pretty well get in right with Yahweh. Second thing you do is you go ahead and make sure you're not too fat. Make sure that, you know, you have some money. You make sure that you have a means of essentially existing for at least 6 months on your own paycheck. Making sure that your children are either quiet and discreet when they go to school or homeschooling them. I recommend that you get yourself in shape, you know, next, and then you get your family in shape. And then, since you will know when the Great Tribulation comes who the criminals are, who the Uyghur criminals are, who the Jew lovers are, who the Mamzers and the rest are, then, and only then are you in a position to assume local leadership and to be one of the 10,000 warlords and to go ahead and preach the real racial religion of dual seed line Christian identity to where you are of Yahweh's seed. But folks, whatever you do, don't get involved and don't be a little tard who essentially figures out you might be a Mamzer, you might be a Jew, and you got to go ahead and go after a Jew. You have to follow a Jew like Eli James or Bill Fink, who will go ahead and let you pretend to be Christian identity or white nationalist. Well, essentially, when you're neither white, you're not Christian, and you're certainly not identity. Folks, that is what you need to do. You need to look after yourself. So, what did we have? What did we have? Essentially, you had a few people, and I think my little meme of essentially stay away from above-ground Christian identity churches, I think that is beginning to catch. I think people are beginning to figure out that Eli James is a Jew, that Bill Fink is a Jew, that Dan Johns is a Mamzer serial polygamist, that Jeremy Visser is just simply a low-grade criminal Mamzer, that Gillette is just simply a weak, stupid crackhead and doper and a snitch. That Alan Truitt is essentially just another criminal and probably Anglo Mestizo. Folks, stay away from these people. They're just nothing but trouble. Nothing but trouble. As far as Alex Linder, the people who didn't stay away from him, like Kevin Harpham, are about to go ahead and bear the brunt of it. Now, if you've got to go ahead and play white nationalist, you know, and not Christian identity, why, by all means, if you're young, there's nothing wrong with you moving to Seattle and making a new, making a new chance, especially if that's what you want to do, and especially if you have nothing keeping you in where you're at now. Well, folks, don't think you're going to go ahead and change someone fixed in his ways like Harold Covington. By all means, go ahead and give him aid and assistance. Well, folks, this Northwest Republic idea, this Northwest Volunteer Army, that's a long ways off here. Long ways off, I don't think it's ever going to be. But what I do think it's going to be, I do think that it's going to be inevitable, is a great tribulation. So, folks, don't be like McFag and worship guns and talk about how many guns you have. I mean, essentially, you should be sort of quiet about your guns. And you shouldn't have a whole rick of guns because you can't use a rick of guns, time here. You should have a good quality Remington or Mossberg, $200 or $300 12-gauge shotgun. You should have a good centerfire rifle, either 30-06 or 308, or 220, or 223, or 225, whatever. And, folks, I'm not recommending an expensive one. I'm recommending the $300 type, bolt action, or an SKS. You can get them cheap. And you should have a pistol, like a revolver, like a 357, which you can go ahead and fire 38 9mm and 357. And you certainly should have a 22 rifle. So you should have about maybe four guns. A pistol, a pistol, then maybe a backup 22 pistol. So, folks, you should have a, you should have a shotgun. Probably the first gun to get is a shotgun. It's usually the cheapest. And then a 22 rifle. A 22 rifle or a shotgun. First thing you should get. Then get either the other one, the shotgun or the rifle. 22 rifle. Then you should get, then you should go ahead and get either a pistol or a center fire. Or a center fire rifle cart, center fire rifle. And then after that, you can go ahead and buy the other stuff here. Well, folks, I'm not urging you to go ahead and splurge on that. You should go ahead and buy them over a period of years, or as you go ahead and are able to go ahead and buy them relatively cheaply. And, folks, you should go ahead and make friends with farmers if you live in the town or the suburb. You should go ahead and say, hey, look, folks, let's have, if you have a militia, you should have a protection militia, not a political militia, not a we are going to go ahead and threaten legislators or pig lice here with how badass we are. No, you should have a quiet militia for when the niggers run wild, we go ahead and we ford up at this farmhouse. We have food. We have something to eat. We have canned goods. We have a toilet. We have a shower. We have something to go ahead, go ahead, and when there are marauders running around, we have enough of it to where we don't have more than what we can feed, but we have enough to where we can go ahead and save ourselves. And folks, that is what a far-sighted man should do here, is look after himself first and look after his family so you're not one of the marauders. You're not like Bill Fink here laughing and giggling here about how those people who go ahead, farmers who go ahead and provide for themselves are a bunch of chumps here because old Bill Fink ain't going to starve. He's going to go ahead and revert to his normal Jew criminality. I need to go ahead and take that. Go ahead and take that thing so the people can go ahead and list themselves about what sort of character Bill Fink is. Totally evil Jew boy, okay? Anyway, poofy soupies. I think we have a nem buster here. I was going to bite my own tail. Anyway. Okay. Well, I do know we have a nem buster here. That's part of the reason I've not gone ahead and advertised on the Nimbusters. One Nimbuster is pretty perverse enough. Okay? So, a poopy in a jug here. Okay. Well. Okay, well, it's a Nimbuster. Oh, Frank, that's not really Frank and Wigger's sort of fun here. Frank and Wigger has a sort of offhand breezy sort of glibness. Whereas a Nimbuster, you can tell a Nimbuster. You know what I mean? Bruce is your friend. That's right. You tell that Nimbuster. Of course, I think they already know that Prune Juice is his friend here. You know what I mean? Prune Juice is his friend here. Probably his best friend. I don't know. With Nimbuster habits here, I sort of think that the love of she-males is just a temporary thing. Prune Juice, I mean, I don't think Nimbusters even have dogs be their best friends. I sort of think that Prune Juice is a Nimbuster's best friend here. You know what I mean? Okay. So, folks, what I recommend, and that's another thing I need to do, is probably I went ahead and seen that pretty well Bertrand Comparé tied together about 10 of his sermons into a sort of a pamphlet or a book. So I may go ahead and just tie together Bertrand Comparé's sermons and tell him a little bit. And folks, pretty well set for electronic publishing on Amazon, with a Creative Commons copyright. Pretty well a 99 cent version here for downloading on their little, what do they call it, their Kindle? Or a PDF for their laptop. Or a $5 actual book, to where folks, they can go ahead and understand what they're supposed to go ahead and read and have some sort, just like the AIP course, have some sort of basic understanding of dual seed line Christian identity. But folks, I'm encouraged by that because, well, Finkelschini on his November 1st Christogenia forum was bitching that there was hardly anything on the internet about Christian identity. And the answer is that there isn't a whole awful lot about Christian identity on the internet. What I see is I see Galette, I see all these people, you know, Sci-Fi Faber. Essentially what they do is they just simply copy Bertrand Comparé, and I don't think any of these tars are even reading him. They're just going ahead and copying them to have people linked so they can claim to be Christian identity. It's sort of like these law books you see in these law firms, to where these law books have never even been read. You can go ahead and tell that they're fresh, you know, in a lawyer's office. Nobody, you know, none of these lawyers actually go ahead and read the law, read the case. When I've gone ahead and written up cases, you will have these lawyers, and essentially, I don't know, they were pretty dumb as far. I learned the law from these lawyers misquoting the law. First, when Ron Mitchell was bitching about this faggot case in Missouri Southern State College, and essentially it was this 1976 decision to where essentially the University of Missouri at Columbia used to say that we will not allow, because we're in loco parentis, we will not allow our students to set up a gay liberation unit using school buildings or school property. We will not allow them to set up their own gay liberation or whatever, transgendered, whatever, society. This was way back in 1976, and the Supreme Court went ahead and ruled that, guess what? These colleges, which are paid for by taxpayer dollars, need to go ahead and open up school, you know, higher education to homosexuals. Far from being persecuted or prosecuted, they are to be given special treatment, and pretty well, you know, higher education facilities are to be open to homosexuals. And this was at the University of Missouri at Columbia. Well, folks, as a result of that, the University of Missouri Columbia was known even by the 1980s or 1990s as the University of Sodom in Columbia. You used to, you know, and pretty well the people who lived there called the People's Republic of Columbia. It is, you know, it is more liberal than St. Louis and Kansas City. More liberal than Niggertown. So, folks, well, I'm trying to wonder how I got to that. Oh, I learned, you know, lawyers are getting dumber. Because, folks, I mean, the population is getting dumber. It's getting darker. It's getting more racially mixed. Okay? He has rights too. Well, he has rights here in China. He has rights in Nigeria. He has rights in Brazil. I mean, if Brian Real would be to move to any of those countries, or he could be a little Jew golem like he is now in Kazakhstan upon the Jordan. Thing about it is that Brian Real has no respect for the rights of white men. He has no respect for freedom of speech. He didn't have a show on tonight. But folks, if you think he has any respect for the rights of white men, or Eli James does either, and certainly Finkelschini doesn't, why, you people got another thing coming. So anyway, in this bowel movement of ours, and I wish I hadn't lost the thing with Russ here, but in this wonderful bowel movement of ours, we have just a total abysmal situation. So folks, this is a bowel movement, and this is a cesspool, and this is a movement turd talking about what is going on in the bowel movement right now. So folks, I'm going to go ahead and end the chat session. and I'll come back. And by the way, this guy who logged in, I went ahead and sent you your password and username. You should be able to go ahead and get on the forum. I'm not able to go ahead and change the CAPTCHA, which is what it's called here, to where it goes ahead and keeps spammers off. It's never kept spammers off. The only way to keep spammers off is to go ahead and deny registration of spammers, okay? Okay? So, it looks like, you know, number 18 was able to go ahead and get back on. So, folks, I'm going to go ahead and I need to go ahead and log on to my forum and put up some room for a number of people. So I'll talk to you later. And, folks, I'll try to go ahead and do a better job. Pretty well, literally, I was on after 8 o'clock tonight. So, folks, hail victory. May Yahweh bless. Good night.
White men clad in black are we, hi-yi-oh-ho, and we'll stamp out the tyranny, hi-yi-oh-ho. White men go, we vote ho, on the city roof, let the red cock grow. White men go, civil war ho, on the corn has long, let red blood flow. When Adam dealt and Eve defend, Kyrie-lei-i, all who was there, the ruling man, Kyrie-lei-i. White men go, we vote ho, on the city roof, let the red cock crow. White men go, civil war ho, on the courthouse lawn, let red blood flow. For white men their rifles shoot, the Jews are laid low. On dogling necks we stomp our boots to stamp out gasco. White men go, we vote ho, on the city roof, let the red cock crow. White men go, civil war ho, on the courthouse lawns, let red blood flow. The regime must only love its greed, hi-yi-oh-ho. The love of God our only need, hi-yi-oh-ho. White men go, we vote ho, on the city roof, let the red cock crow. White men go, civil war ho, on the courthouse lawn, let red blood flow. We'll conquer for our cause of right, hi-yi-oh-ho. Our sons won't have to go and fight, hi-yi-oh-ho. White men go, we vote ho, on the city roof, let the red cock crow. White men go, civil war ho, on the courthouse lawn, let red blood flow.